Let's go ahead and get started. This is the budget workshop, and we're going to go over the general funds today. And so at this time, I will turn it over to Rick Horst.
Thank you, President Gwynn and members of the City Council, Mayor. We're pleased to be able to present to you today a balanced budget. This comes on the heels of a lot of hard work by a lot of people from every single department, division, and area of the staff support. We are pleased to say that the balanced budget does not ask for any increases in fees. It holds a revenue neutral position on property tax. As you're aware, we've already reduced the bulk power rate, done away with the front foot connection fees, and reduced water and sewer impact fees. We're pleased to say that every single position in the city that presently exists is budgeted in this budget. Wow. And all of the assumptions that we presented to you at the initial meeting have been put into place. And at this time, I would like to, with your permission, turn it over to our budget director, Cindy Kelly, to take the initial lead. And again, as we've had in the past, all our department directors and fiscal managers are here to address any questions, and we'll go where you want to go and cover anything you want to cover. And between all of us in the room, I'm sure we have the answer.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Cindy Kelly, Deputy Director of Budget and Finance, for the record. And I want to echo Mr. Horst's comments that it was a collaborative effort between all the different departments in the city to come in line. We are pleased that the general fund budget is $3.1 million lower for FY11 than it is for fiscal year 10. And like Mr. Horst said, that was without raising taxes, without raising fees, without having to do layoffs or furloughs or any of those horrible things that you're hearing about throughout the state. And I would also point out that that is with an increased pension contribution of $4.2 million from the general fund. We were still able to come in with a $3 million reduction. So there was a great effort on the part of staff throughout the city looking at effectiveness, efficiency, better utilizing technology in order to provide the same level of service to the citizens that they are accustomed to presently.
And if I may, just for a moment, a lot of cities are deferring those increased pension costs. We're pleased that we're not. I think when they say they defer it, I think they sometimes mean we'll let some other person be responsible for that in the future year, and we're grateful that this council has not had that position, and we're grateful that we fund it and keep our pension program totally solvent and up to date.
So we increased our pension costs by $2 million and reduced our budget by $3 million?
We increased it by 4.2 and reduced our budget by $3 million, so a net $7 million.
Right.
I would like to again thank the Finance Council. I believe most members are present from the Finance Council today if they want to stand up for me.
We'll forgo the introductions as we've introduced them before, but most of them are here and all.
And we can start at any point you want. I'll go ahead and move forward to the tentative millage information. The general fund is based on using the rollback rate for FY11 as we demonstrated when we set our assumptions. So do we have any questions related to the rollback rate?
I will mention that on the 20th next week, we will be setting the tentative millage as required by state statute, which of course allows you to reduce it after that, but that would be the max. And that will be formally presented at next Tuesday's meeting.
Okay. The next page in your book is the funds listing. We listed out the funds for you by type. This is kind of an index on how the book is laid out. We have several different sections. The first section is the different general funds. And we have the special revenue funds, the debt service funds, the capital projects funds, which we've already held the capital workshop, and the trust and agency funds. We'll start by looking at the general funds. Under the first tab, the first section you'll see is the revenue for the general fund. And the total revenue expected for the general fund is $65.1 million for FY11. Several of our revenues were flat. A few had some declines in them. And the current year adopted budget was $68.2 million. Any questions related to revenue?
I have a question. Mr. President, I have a question.
Susie.
Just go ahead. There's a, on page three, there's a listing that says some zoning and subdivision fees.
Yes.
And I just noticed, like, historically, we're, like, 64,000 was the 2009 actuals. And then the 2010 actuals were 21,000. And I was wondering, like, it just seemed like a big change, and that we're budgeting back 65,000 again. So I was wondering what.
I would have to ask. Holly Lang would like to address the zoning.
It's page three, zoning and subdivision fees. Maybe about a fourth of the way down the front.
Okay, zoning and subdivision.
The first thing is the 21,000 represents revenues to this date. We still have.
Okay, so we still have 3 more months. Okay.
That's the biggest part of the answer. The other is staff and invite Ty, whoever might be here to address this further if they like, but.
What are those exactly?
Pardon me?
What is that?
When they come in for a new development plan, they pay the associated fees for staff review and so forth.
Right.
And we have some of those that we know are forthcoming as well.
Okay.
Because they come in and do preliminary work.
Okay, so they're basically taking it from that?
Yes, please.
That'd be nice if that was a big number.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering if we're.
And it was, go back.
Right.
Back in the day.
For the subdivision fees, staff anticipated what we would get. We also know some of the projects are in the pipeline at this time.
Okay.
And we had to take that into account for what we're going to project for next year.
Okay.
But there have been a reduction in growth within the city.
Right. That's, yeah, okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions related to revenue?
Okay, go ahead.
The next section you see is the consolidation of divisions. This is something that we discussed during the first workshop, that we were going to reduce the number of different divisions that the departments had and try to streamline and better account for where things were. So we gave you this list as kind of a guide, so when you saw a lot of zeros in an area, you understood where those dollars went to. And it's about a 3-page list. We did a lot of consolidating in the general fund. And then the next section you get to is the index for the departments and divisions as you see them in the FY11 budget. And we also tabbed out the book by each department so that you could, you know, follow along with what each department was requesting. And then we gave you a summary of the expenditure requests by department. And as you can see, the requests total the revenue, so we do have a balanced budget at this time. And I'm happy to address any department within the general fund that you would like to address. The department heads and fiscal managers are here to speak to their budgets individually. I will point out that there were no reductions taken from what was given to the budget office. The departments did an excellent job of going through that exercise prior to submitting their requests, so their budgets are as presented by the departments.
How much money do we have in the capital improvement fund?
The capital improvement funds are later in, we had in the budget. We can go there if you would like. Each fund has its own balance.
But how does that affect the general fund?
It does not affect the general fund in any way, shape, or form.
It does.
No, ma'am.
All right.
Those are separate funds with separate funding sources, not funded by the general fund.
Yeah, and I'm supposed to have possibly a good concrete answer today. General fund. Total number.
We emailed
that out the next day, sir.
Yeah, I got an approximate from you.
That number has not changed.
That number has, what are we looking, 18? Something, I believe it is. 21 maybe you had.
21. Yes, 21. Our expected unreserved fund balance at 9/30/09 was $21 million. and that has not changed. The audit is still not complete, so that number has not changed.
Okay.
Are there any departments y'all would like to look at?
Anybody have any questions? Cindy, any of these? Okay. Go ahead.
Whatever you want to do.
We will do what you want to do. I can go through page by page. It is a 400-page document, so I don't want to bore anyone going page by page. I want to make sure I address what it is that you all
would like. Yeah, let's just go through them. Just, you know, start at the top, what we've done before.
Okay, the first department is our Support Services Administration Division. And again, you will see repeated the org chart for that area, plus their budget transmittal. And this is a newly created division for FY11. It's to house the administrative portions of the Support Services Department. And their budget follows. A small department, just some salaries and operating. The next department is the city manager's office. Again, the org chart along with the transmittal letter. And there are a few different divisions, and there is a transmittal letter that speaks to each different division within the city manager's budget. So you have the city manager's office, the city council budget, the city attorney's budget, all within Department 12.
And I would just indicate that shows a decrease because of the first budget she talked about transferring out. Combined, they're
the same. Where is the city council budget?
It's the very first.
Just didn't see it.
Well, they're all merged together now because of the executive.
But under the executive, there's that division out that says legislative, right? So that's
yes.
The city council budget, mm-hmm. That section.
That's correct. Yep. That would be the
point
section.
Point that out to me.
It would be 12011. It's going to be on page 1.
Page 1 to start.
It's the legislative budget.
Under CMO?
Correct. Yes.
I don't see it, but point it out on this on the screen here.
I am on that page.
Okay.
Is there something particular we can
speak on? Usually it's separated, and I was trying to find it.
And we can go back and do that if you want.
Okay,
there is the auditor asked us to.
I think I do. Yeah, I've got it. Okay.
It's the very first page, Ms. Rich.
Okay, I've got it.
And if you're looking at page 1, you'll see 001 is general fund. 12 indicates that it's executive, which is the department.
Right.
And then 011 is the administration, and this is the legislative budget.
Okay. So everything below that is?
All right. The next section you would roll to on page 2 is the city manager's budget. And then on page 3, the city attorney budget. And that encompasses the whole executive department.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Okay. The next department is the city clerk. And enclosed as well as the city clerk's transmittal letter. I guess the major thing to point out, there are no elections scheduled for this budget cycle, so that is the major reduction that you see.
Do a little cheer.
Do you have any comments on that, the city clerk's budget?
No, sir.
Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Just speaking of like elections, when there is an election year, then that total amount goes in there, so we don't kind of put it aside each year to pay the big expenses.
No, because it just sits in the reserves.
Okay, so it's better to just, okay.
It's on the balance sheet. It's not reflected in the budget that way. It's not needed to be funded.
Right, it's fine. Just, okay, just curious.
The software is not capitalized. There's a software request in Minitrack.
Yeah, actually, the $70,000 is, but not the annual maintenance.
Okay, so that's the annual maintenance. It's in professional services.
Right.
Yes.
But the intent was just to give you a full description, but the rest is part of the CIP purchase.
You're charging $70,000. What's the annual maintenance on that?
$10,000 a year.
Okay.
Right. Is that what it was?
That's right.
Okay, the next section is the internal auditor's budget.
Oh, your memo?
And Mr. Claudio is here if you have any questions related to his budget. It's flat. There's no changes.
Mm-hmm. Is Oscar here?
Yes, sir.
Does that look all right? Okay. All right. Your budget.
Okay, the next department is the Office of Long-Term Planning and Sustainability. And we do have the transmittal letter from Mr. Mondell's office. And Mr. Mondell is present if you have questions related to his department. There are a few changes in the structure of Mr. Mondell's area that he would be happy to speak to. His program is funded at the current year funding level. The general fund supported the economic development program with a transfer of $400,000 in fiscal year 10, and we will support the same transfer of $400,000 in fiscal year 11.
And am I remembering right that they added a person in that department this year?
That was done during the year, that's correct.
During the year, mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
They have also taken on the added responsibility of taking care of the community redevelopment areas.
Right.
And a portion of that salary is funded in the general fund, and half is funded by the community development districts. The next department is the Office of Budget and Finance. Our major change is we were split out into the Office of Budget and Management and the Office of Business and Financial Services. Next year, we are going back to one department, the Office of Business and Finance. We don't have any increases in staff or dollars, just change the name of our department again.
Okay. That was in part because we were without a CFO at the time. Now
right.
We have John.
Okay.
And also purchasing is no longer included in our budget. That was done partway through this year as well.
Okay.
So purchasing is now in each individual budget, right?
Correct.
That way the enterprise funds pay their fair share and support and so on.
Okay, great.
The next area is human resources risk management. This is a realignment as well. The Office of Human Resources and the Office of Risk Management have been combined to one department. So the change that you will see is the risk management was an internal service fund. It was fund number 625. It was rolled into the general fund. So that is the increase that you see there. It was just moved over. The overall dollar amount did not change. It's just where it's accounted for has changed.
How did the county getting out of the risk management arrangement with us affect the budget, if at all?
It actually saved us a few dollars.
Okay.
Because we were paying more than our fair share of the administrative costs.
Okay.
Which is the reason they were separated before, but there's
right.
no need to do that now. And the big part of the dollar amount that you just spoke about is the clinic.
Okay.
So it's funded in the same fashion. It's just showing up here instead of somewhere else.
Okay. And you mentioned purchasing, Rick, earlier. I mean, we do have a purchasing department, correct?
We have purchasing agents, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yes, they're just no longer in the finance department.
Councilwoman Rich.
Unemployment compensation.
Yes, ma'am.
You got $112,000 budget review department request, and then zeros the rest of the way.
That's correct. At the present time, unemployment compensation was spread out all over the city. We've made the change for fiscal year 11 that the budget for unemployment compensation will be housed in human resources, and they will pay the bills directly from human resources. So it was a consolidation.
Why are there zeros
there? Because in the current year, human resources did not pay the workers' the unemployment compensation bill. Each department received a bill. Yes, ma'am. So in FY 11, we plan to consolidate those into the Human Resources Department and have them all paid from one place.
It's for simplification and better transparency. Every time you have a workers' comp claim, you have to go to different budgets, but the departments didn't really want the budget. It's always kind of a guessing game because you don't know what's going to happen, and one department may be over budgeted, another one under budgeted, and then they didn't want to release the funds, so we pulled them all together into one fund so we can address it from a citywide approach because it's all the general fund at the end
right.
of the day.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any questions on that?
Very astute of you, though, Mrs. Rich. Very astute of you. We knew that would be.
Did Sandra get any extra help since she has extra duties?
Well, to my knowledge, the departments were just consolidated. Sandra was the director over both departments currently. It was a more of a financial consolidation versus additional workload.
Happy with whatever happened. Okay. Me too.
Same bodies.
Yeah.
She was always supervising both groups, but
right.
just merged them together. Now that the county's gone, it didn't make sense to have a separate budget.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. The next department is the Growth Management Department. This is also a department that went through some reorganization. In the past year, they have taken on, we've had some significant changes in our community development block grant program, and the engineering department was kind of split up. We had the water and sewer engineers go over to water and sewer, stormwater moved out, streets moved out, so they are now responsible for the planning, zoning, and the rest of engineering. So they are working on instituting the one-stop permit center, so that is a new accomplishment for them. They are also in charge of the urban planning, the Vision Ocala program. And they are here to answer specific questions.
Do you have any questions on that? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. The next department is the Police Department. We do have the transmittal letter from the Police Department. They did come in with a 3% decrease over current year. We instituted some consolidation with IT in the current year, so you will see that reflected in their budget. The 800 megahertz unit was moved out to telecom, and that happened during the current year. So overall, they did a real good job with their budget. And they are here to speak to it if you have questions.
Chief, you okay with your budget? Okay, Mayor, y'all are okay with it? Yes. All right.
Okay. The next department is the Fire Department. And we have a zero increase in the Fire Department's budget. for current year. They were able to reduce overtime by $190,000. They've done some, $100,000.
How much?
$100,000.
Yes, $100,000 from $290 to $190. They've changed some of their scheduling and done some different things to be able to reduce the overtime. But overall, their budget is flat. They also did a really good job finding some efficiencies in their budget.
I have a question on this one.
Councilwoman Heimbach.
The third bullet point said that they had decreased their budget for physicals and because of the new way the clinic is operating. Could you kind of elaborate on the new way?
Yes, and Chief Gentry is present.
Okay.
And Gentry, City Fire Chief.
Hi.
What happened is the clinic is now doing the physicals. We were contracting out.
Okay.
But through the consolidation over there with our new operations, we're able to free up that money.
Okay, so they're just all being done at clinic now, basically.
Everything's being taken care of.
All right, thank you.
On these transmittal letters where they ask for different equipment, are you adding that in the budget?
Yes, ma'am. All requests, all requests in the transmittal letters have been honored. They're within the budget. The next department is our engineering department. And again, the engineering department did undergo some reorganization in the current year. We do have a new city engineer that recently started with us in June. And again, the traffic division, the stormwater division were all moved to the public works department. The airport division is now a department, within engineering. And the utilities water and sewer section was moved out to water and sewer. And those are the main differences that you'll see in the engineering budget. The other change is the traffic department is now being funded 100% in the gas tax fund. It is no longer housed in the general fund.
Okay. What, I know that we rearranged the traffic department. What's out at that facility where they were?
That's going to be eventually the Parks and Recreation staff who don't really have a home because traffic's moved into public works, so they're all
right
together.
Okay.
So that'd be the maintenance group of the Parks and Recreation.
Okay. Good.
It's a great spot because it's central to the east side, west side,
right,
and fulfill all their needs. So.
Okay, good. Right.
They're currently having to work out a very small shed and other
right
areas for their small equipment, mowers and so forth.
Okay.
Okay.
Actually, they're partly working at a little auditorium right now. So.
True. Okay.
The next department is Recreation and Parks. And we do have a transmittal letter from Recreation and Parks, and it outlines the different things that they are working on for fiscal year 11. Their neighborhood parks program, the Tuscola Park revitalization, downtown parking, the Discovery Center, golf, the ball field upgrades, support of local events. They are getting some recreation management software, and we continue to work towards the Recreation and Parks Master Plan, which is part of that visioning process.
What's the time frame on getting that master plan done for Tuscola?
Tuscola portion is tied for some of the tie. There he is. It's in the first phase, September of this year.
Okay, good. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions?
This is just definition. On the first bullet point toward the bottom, it says we're looking to put in a variety of play equipment as opposed to upright playground units. Could I get sort of a definition? What does that mean?
Where's that, Susie?
The first bullet point, it's about three lines up from the bottom.
And Kathy Crowell is here from Parks.
Okay.
Kathy Crowell, Recreation and Parks Director. So at our neighborhood parks, you've seen the playground at Tuscaloosa, and it has the, it's universally accessible, it has the large ramp. That's an expensive type of system to put up. And typically, it's a larger unit because those ramps take so much room. Right now, at our neighborhood parks, we have playground units that are considered accessible, but we know they don't meet any real accessibility standards.
So the thing at Tuscaloosa is considered an upright playground unit?
Sure.
Okay.
But there are also upright playground units that meet ADA standards, but there are no ramps.
Right.
There's only stairs and slides. The child can get to the unit, they really can't get up in it. So for several reasons, in our neighborhood parks, we want to put play equipment that we can spread out. It encourages children to move about more. It's easier made accessible, and it's less expensive. So we can put some nice equipment at ground level in our neighborhood parks and then keep the larger units that are accessible to everyone in the larger parks.
Okay.
Instead of one contained unit.
Right, it's a little thing here and there. Okay, got it. Understand. Thank you very much.
But shouldn't they all be universally acceptable or whatever?
Yes, all of them will be. We couldn't afford to put a playground like what's at Tuscaloosa with those ramps at all of our community parks and in our neighborhood parks. So by keeping the playground equipment at ground level, so the whirl and there's a rebounce thing, the monkey bars, by keeping those kind of things that are really considered at ground level, you don't have to take stairs to get to them, they are universally accessible because anybody can get to them, but they don't have to navigate stairs and we don't have to build ramps to get to them. So let me give an example. The unit that is at MLK right now, it probably has some ramps. They're narrow ramps, and they aren't universally accessible. But you know, the unit goes up high, and kids can get up in it. But it's not, you couldn't get in it with a wheelchair. You see what I'm saying? So
I understand, but I also think we should consider, if we're going to replace them or add to them, we should consider getting the ramps so kids in the neighborhood are in wheelchairs,
sure,
so that they can get the same thing. The park might not be as, the equipment might not be as big, but
right.
I think that
the units,
we should afford them all the same thing.
In all the region, in all of the community parks, we will have ramp systems and units that are, the ramps themselves take a lot of space. So by the nature of the beast, when you put in a system that's universally accessible, it's going to be a large unit, just because you have to meet a slope requirement for wheelchair accessibility. So when you start to do that, those ramps start to spread that system out. And just by the nature of how that ramp system works, you're going to end up with a large unit.
Kathy, so, would you explain the difference between community parks and neighborhood parks?
So neighborhood park would be like Lamb Park.
Community park.
Or even Second Chance Park, Wyomena Park, the smaller, usually half acre to maybe even 3 or 4 acres. There's a small park that sits in the middle of, Fisher Park's one of our larger ones. It sits right in the middle of a neighborhood, and it's typically used only by the neighborhood children. And you're right, some of them are in wheelchairs, which is why we're proposing to put in play equipment, but that they can get to and utilize. The transition from the wheelchair to the equipment is just natural because it's all at ground level. So
but your big parks like Lillian Bryant,
MLK, Gantt,
and
the
sports
complex.
We'll move towards that type of facility that you see out at Tuscaloosa.
I mean, we can put those in every park, but they're, you know, you're talking about $150,000. Some of our smaller parks, you couldn't put them in because you couldn't fit them anyways, like Second Chance and the Fort King Tot Lot, but it's
but MLK
expensive.
And Lillian Bryant, there's lots of room, and
they'll have the upright units that have the ramp systems. Those are community parks.
With the carpet on them too?
Yes. Well, at Lily and Brian, I wouldn't recommend the poured-in-place surface just because that we have a lot of vandalism at that park, the way it's tucked back.
Can you give me a report of all the vandalism?
I can.
Okay, can you give it to me after this meeting?
No, I can go back to the office and get you one, though.
Okay. because I got a police report of all the calls to all the parks, and it doesn't show that.
We don't call the police for vandalism. We would try to...
If somebody steals, breaks something out there, you don't call the police?
If somebody, for example, we can hardly keep a volleyball net up at that park because somebody comes through and cuts it almost every night, and so we wouldn't call the police for that.
In any of our parks, if somebody destroys something, you don't call the police?
If somebody, for example, we've had playgrounds that people have set on fire, we'll call the police for that. If the amount of damage is extensive, we'll call the police. We file a 1001 form and the police because we're going to replace that through the risk fund. But if it's just a matter of, if it's a volleyball net or someone knocks a light bulb out, we don't call the police for that.
Do they do that at all the playgrounds? It just, no. You know, Jeremy Gant sits in a neighborhood too. Some of the other parks sit in a neighborhood. But you said that vandalism happens in that Lily and Bryant because they can sneak back into the neighborhood. They could do that at any of the parks because a lot of them are surrounded by neighborhoods. And to me, that was just derogatory.
I don't think it's derogatory. I think it's a fact.
You wrote it. I know you don't. But I read it, and I think it is.
It's
the way you stated
it
in your memo.
You are correct that they could sneak in and they could vandalize any park. Unfortunately, they do
That's
it more
right.
at Lillian Bryant Park.
But I don't understand if you don't have it in writing that today a volleyball net was torn down.
Oh, we have it. We would do 1001
form.
But
you wouldn't call a park.
We wouldn't call the police.
You have it for all the parks.
We would have any time we filled out 1001 form, we would have copies of that.
For all the parks?
Yes, ma'am.
That back side road, if we can trim some trees and get those street lights in, I don't think we'd have a problem.
And I don't know that we have a problem any more than we have in any of the rest of the
Well, I understand, but I'm
at
saying
this point.
That whole street's not lit up.
Yeah, but
so
we plan
need
to put lights out there.
Correct.
And I can give you the information
Where
do
these park rangers go? Do they ride? They work.
Sure.
At night also?
No, we actually stop our park rangers at, the parks close at dark, except for if there's a lighted court, then that court is open till 10 o'clock. And then our park rangers are off the clock shortly after that.
But do they go to all the parks?
Mm-hmm.
Do they ever go out to live in the park?
All the time. And we keep records on how many hours are spent at each park. I would say for about the last 6 months, we've been doing an enforcement report that tells how many hours we spend patrolling all the parks in the downtown and even downtown parking. So we can give you that information too.
Okay.
Just a quick question on the parks, like for example, Scott Carrigan Park where the basketball courts are, tennis courts. Do you have to turn those lights on or do they turn off by themselves at a certain time? Are they programmed to do that?
Most of our lighting systems, and I believe that one included, have a dual timer system so that they have a timer that a person goes up and they turn it and it stays on for a certain amount of time.
Right.
But there's also a timer between that timer and the power source that if it's after 10 o'clock at night, it won't let that.
I see what you're saying. Sure.
So that it's going to turn off at 10 o'clock, you got to go home.
Right.
But, you know, anytime before that, you can turn it on. But if someone's not out, if someone's turned it on and they leave, it's not going to burn till 10 o'clock. Right. After about an hour, it'll go back off.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else have any questions? Parks and Rec? All right. Go ahead, Cindy.
Good. Okay. The next department is Public Works. And the Department of Public Works encompasses several different areas, streets, traffic engineering, stormwater, and sanitation. We covered all of the other areas in the Enterprise Fund workshop. And the streets department has moved into the gas tax fund along with the traffic department. So the remainder of Public Works that is in the general fund is just their administrative department. Which are not eligible expenses for the gas tax fund.
Okay.
And Mr. Phillips is here to speak to you.
Anybody have any questions on that? Okay.
All zeros.
All right.
Our next department is the Fleet and Facilities Department, which were, have been consolidated to one department, which happened during the current year. There's been some additional efficiencies found throughout Fleet and Facilities, so you will see those reductions in their budget. And I believe Mr. Dobbs is here to speak to Fleet and Facilities if you have questions.
I know one of the things Rick had told us about, we don't keep as much inventory as we used to. Is that right, Rick?
Correct.
Yeah, I think that probably reflected in this, in this budget. I mean, we used to keep a lot of tires and
yes,
things like that.
Chris, you want to speak to that?
I mean, I guess items that we can get within a day or, you know, during the day, we don't need to inventory.
What we call on-time delivery.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We're in the process now of reducing it in half, and we look to even go further.
Okay. All right. I guess we had a pretty big supply of
huge. Yeah.
Okay.
We've had stuff and it's been there for years.
Really?
And part of the problem is, as you place out vehicles, then some of those parts are no longer
don't fit. Yeah.
And then it's lost. So the on-time delivery makes sense. It's better for our local merchants and vendors, and allows us to save money and not tie up so much space. And one of the reasons we're able to reduce staff is because space that used to hold stuff now holds bodies.
What did we do with the items that we no longer needed?
We're working on them now to get them to surplus.
Okay.
So we will be taking a loss in inventory.
Okay.
We'll have a report on that.
We could have a heck of a garage sale.
Mm-hmm. Some of the vendors have agreed to repurchase some of it back.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
we're
wow.
Working currently with our vendor, CarQuest.
Right.
They're in the process now of buying back a lot of our inventory, and they
okay.
will keep our inventory for that for us.
Okay.
And they will guarantee us we can have our inventory within 20 minutes of anything we order from them.
That's great.
So we'll let them
keep
it. Yeah. I don't know why we didn't do that.
Didn't do that earlier.
Before. But
Chris and his team's done a great job, and they're continuing.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Okay. The next department is Information Technology, our IT department. And this is an area where you will see consolidation. IT has taken over the administration of all of our different IT facilities. The major purchases we reviewed during the capital workshop are all being purchased out of our replacement fund. So the expenses that you see in the IT budget are the annual maintenance costs for the different areas. And Ms. Benson, the director of IT, is here to speak to her budget if you have questions.
Do you have any questions for IT?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Next.
Our next area is grants. And there is very little budgeted in this area. There are only a couple of grants that we actually know about at budget time. Everything else comes on via a grant resolution as the grant comes to light. So these are offset by the particular revenue source. And the next department is our non-departmental expenses, which are expenses that the general fund is responsible for that are not attributable directly to any one department, which is where you will see the additional cost for the pension program of the $4.2 million. And the other increase you'll see here is taking over the payment for street lighting. The general fund absorbed half of that in the current year. And in fiscal year 11, we will absorb the other half, so general fund will be picking up the full bill for the street lighting.
Okay.
Is that the items that are prefix TRF? What are those?
Transfers.
Okay.
Those are all transfers to debt service. That is general fund's responsibility of our bonds.
Okay.
And that concludes the general fund.
Okay.
The next fund under the general funds section is Fund 09 Fund, which is our three-quarter mill road improvement fund.
Okay.
It is funded by the set aside of 3/4 of a mil. And that is the revenue source that you see there. And the expenses are just related to road infrastructure improvement.
That's all. Ties back to the CIP plan you reviewed previously.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is a CIP fund.
Okay.
The next fund is Fund 092, which is the Fire Police Improvement Fund, which is also funded by millage. And these are funds set aside for the fire and police department to share on any particular expenses that they may have.
Capital-related or equipment-related expenses.
Okay.
Part of this would be some of the money funding the fire station.
Okay.
Correct. Okay. The next fund is Fund 097, which is our Fire Impact Fee Fund. This is also a capital fund, and right now these funds are programmed for Fire Station 1. The next fund is Fund number 103, the 1/8 mil Neighborhood Enhancement Fund. Again, this is where we have a dedicated 1/8 of a mil set aside to do different things within the city limits. We've done some of the building maintenance, the demolition, different things like that. The city auditorium is programmed out of these funds.
Okay.
And that concludes the general fund section, all general funds. Our next section.
Cindy, before you move in, Council, I want to make you aware of two other things in regard to the general fund. We expect in the next months, weeks, we're not real sure, the final disposition of the 2004 Hurricane FEMA.
Right.
And we have anticipation that there'll be a reimbursement back to them anywhere from between $200,000 and $350,000, so we're preparing for that. And the other thing I wanted to bring to your light is we're proposing that in light of the BP oil spill and the fact that it could have some negative impacts on the Florida economy based on tourism and could impact our state revenue sharing, that we're going to ask that we also put $1 million into a
reserve for contingencies.
Contingency fund, only in the event that those funds aren't realized, so that
right.
we can be proactively prepared should any negative fallout come. We hope it won't.
Okay.
But we're just going to be proactive and be prepared rather than whine after the fact. So
okay.
I just wanted to bring those two things to your
okay.
attention.
What's the amount of money, would you say 250 or 300,000 you said we're giving back to FEMA?
Right. They're just now wrapping up their audit of all those things that happened in 2004.
Right.
It's been ongoing all this time. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, some things they overpaid, some things they underpaid, and the back and forth is going to be somewhere in that. We haven't got the final report, but that's what we're led to believe.
And we've worked with them on this, and
yes,
we
sir.
Agree to that number?
Yes, sir.
It's just not them saying you owe us $300,000.
It's been the audit process has been for 2 years now.
That's correct. And they've actually been helpful in the process. Our representatives have been very helpful, and there have been things that we've argued and said we believe we're owed this, and they've agreed with us. So
okay.
it's been a very
So it's been a kind of a back and forth process.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's taken a while because they have so much turnover with their people. As
right.
you know, they bring in people during the event, and then they're gone. And then
right.
But it's been reviewed and very carefully by not just finance, but all of the direct departments.
Okay. All right.
So I just wanted to mention those two things.
Sure.
Do you support the contingency just in case? And again, if it's not spent, it's not spent, but we're prepared just in case.
Mayor.
I'm just curious, where the, what do we do? How we set aside this $1 million? Is this coming as $1 million out of the general fund budget, or is it?
It'd be probably within the general
yes,
fund
Yes, it would
budget.
Be within the general fund budget. You would see us bringing in from our cash on the revenue side, and you would see a separate reserve for contingencies line item on the expenditure side. That way, if our revenues started to decline, we would come back to council and say state revenue sharing has been cut, sales tax is not coming in, and we would request your permission to move it from the reserves
it
into
be restricted.
The
we just want to get
expenditure.
Okay.
We hope that won't happen. Frankly, I think we'll be okay.
I mean, what kind of money do we get from state revenue sharing?
It's about 3.25 million, so we anticipate about, worst case, a third might not be realized. I don't think that's going to be the case, but...
I mean, how do you say it specifically from the oil spill?
Well, they called a special session legislature...
21st?
...specifically to talk about what happens if state revenues are down because tourism falls off because of the negative media.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's already fell off in the panhandle. I've talked to friends up there.
So it's nothing more but educated hunch and trying to be proactive and see what happens.
Okay. I don't see, is that okay with you, Councilman Melo? Okay. Mayor?
No, I just was curious as how we were going to allocate for it, so...
You'll see it as a separate line item in the budget.
I think we're better off being proactive.
I agree.
All right.
Okay, the next section are special revenue funds. And the first fund within that section is our local gas tax fund. And the revenues that we receive there are from the 9-cent gas tax and then the local option gas tax, which we share. We receive a portion from the county. And then we have a few engineering department fees.
Okay, you've got, let me ask a question here. You've got actuals for 2010 or 2,620,000.
Right.
Yes, and the state is 2 months in arrears in paying us. They don't, so it's, you know, it's July, but we're through May with from state payments. And again, we have the remainder of the year, so.
Okay, well, where's the 10 million coming from?
In the amended budget, you're looking at the amended budget. You've got your carry forward of projects, so projects that were encumbered in 09 that carry forward into 10.
Oh, okay.
The revenue came with it.
I got you, yeah. So there's an additional, 3 million on 44 and OTED grant on also on 44.
Correct.
Yeah, that was the grant.
Those grant monies.
Gotcha. Yeah, plus there's another...
2 million in prior projects,
yeah,
yes.
From the local...
So those are not recurring revenue sources, so there was no loss to the fund.
Okay. All right. Anybody have anything on that? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. The next fund under special revenue funds is Fund 111, which is our downtown development fund.
Okay.
And those are the little districts, District A, B, and C. And that's all the revenue that they receive is the $64,000. The next fund is Fund 618, which is our Recreation Special Activities Fund. These are some of the recreation programs that pay for themselves, which would be your Discovery Science Center, the Athletic Complex, some of the community centers, and the Aquatic Center.
On the, is it 27-100 adult athletic admissions, you've got 22,397, is that correct? 2009 actuals?
You're looking at, I'm sorry, which column are you looking at?
Yeah, where it says admissions, 22,000 up in your, the third actuals. Item on, from the top, $22,397. It's adult athletic concessions.
And again, that's 2009, which the year hasn't been closed, so I can't speak to whether everything's posted there or not.
But I mean, that was concessions from
the different areas.
All our different parks.
And we changed in fiscal year 10 where things were credited to. In fiscal year 9, Fund 618 didn't have all of the things that it currently houses. So we had a realignment of what services were funded in this fund and what services were funded in the general fund. So it's not necessarily an apples to apples comparison.
And then the admissions, 9,625, that's a dollar a person for the admissions?
I would have to ask Kathy.
That dollar generated probably less than 50 bucks because you got to pay someone out there $10 an hour to collect.
Yeah.
I was looking for my sheets to see what you're referring to, but ask the question again.
Yeah, the this is from 2009, but I'm just trying to look at this. the $9,625 on adult athletic admissions. Is that a dollar a person to get into the adult complex out by the airport?
It used to be, it was a dollar a person to get in, and okay. We did away with that because we had transitioned that more into a community park as opposed to just an athletic complex. Used to be we brought in about $40,000 a year.
Wow.
So, and the reason it's only $9,000 that year is that we were partially into the year when we did away with it. So what we did for adult sports is we just figured out, okay, if it was a 10-game season, each person would have paid $10 through that admission fee, and we just increased those adult athletic fees.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm not thinking so much about the dollar amount. I'm just thinking about the usage and how many people, you know, went through there and, you know, used the park. It sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it was about $40,000 a year we were collecting. And, you know, a lot of that might have been the same people over and over because they were involved in sporting.
But still, I mean, it's well utilized.
You've got
40,000 people.
Very well utilized. And under this change, we're still collecting the same dollars, but by rolling it into their, you know, it's now $100 a team instead of $75 a team, whatever that is. But now you don't have to pay a person to sit there at the gate to collect it, which ended up costing more than
what they were collecting.
And in our meetings with our master planner for our parks master plan, you know, they've asked a lot of questions about that park, and they're going to come back with some recommendations. They feel like there's a substantial opportunity for, you know, economic impact type activities at that park if we would build it out. And we haven't, obviously, but so you'll hear more about that.
All right. Can you help me with that? All right, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. The next fund is Fund 621, which is our Community Redevelopment Fund. These are the TIF areas, the tax increment finance areas. They're funded by the difference between the base year and then the growth value. And these monies can only be used within those respective areas.
Anybody have any questions on that?
I have a question on
Councilwoman Heimbach.
The first page of the expenditures, the improvement O/T buildings.
Other than
buildings.
Okay. That has jumped up substantially. What is included in that? And
those are actually unencumbered dollars that potentially could be used for debt service for the parking garage if and when that was forward.
Okay. Okay.
That's correct.
That's what that is then.
Which one are you on?
Page one
of the expenditures.
Fund 621.
Yes, 621.
621. Okay.
Which one?
It's under the expenditures, the first page, the first of the white pages.
Remember the report I gave you potentially on the garage as a potential fund source?
Okay,
that's what that number is.
Got it.
Okay.
All right.
Right now it's not committed.
All right.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything?
Okay, that includes the special revenue funds.
Okay.
The next area would be our debt service funds.
Okay.
There are a slew of debt service funds. They are all the same in that the revenue that comes in is what's required to make the debt service payment for that particular debt service issue.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're wanting to go through those one by one.
Do you
want
to go through each one of those, or what do you want to do?
In all of the other funds, you've seen the transfer line, which is what's funding the debt service fund. So it's
so
an expense to someone else. Correct.
Separated out.
Yes.
Fund. Okay.
The next section after that would be the capital projects funds, which
that's
you
trust
have.
An agency's fund?
The capital project funds are first.
Okay.
Tab's kind of hard to see. It's a bigger tab on the white page.
Oh, I see it. It's on the right side. I got it.
And you have seen all of these as well at the Capital Workshop. Unless you have any questions in particular to any of the capital projects that we discussed previously or any of the replacements.
Do you want to go through those? Is everybody okay on that?
I'm okay.
I think we're okay on that.
Okay. The only fund that I would point out in this particular section is fund number 674, which is the Economic Improvement Fund, and I do want to point out that the Ocala Economic Development Communities expenditure request is included there as it normally is, and it is funded in the budget.
Let me add one thing to that. We originally put in the budget the $145,000 as typical. After that, we received a letter, which was in the packet, where they've asked for $152,015, which is about $7,000 more. But our current budget is $145,000, and if you want to honor their request, we would need to make that $7,000 adjustment.
Okay.
I have some questions on this.
Do you have anything?
Yeah.
Susan.
I guess my biggest question, and I understand that the EDC is providing services to the city through marketing the properties that we have and whatnot, but I'm wondering if it wouldn't, or what other people's thoughts are about having like a specified scope of services. What will they do? What is marketing plan, much like the person that we're doing the vision plan? You know, they provided us with, these are the items that we will do for the city, and this is the cost of that. And if there was, has there been any thought of having the EDC develop that for the city, so that we know exactly what we're getting for this money?
In our current year, they asked for an additional $80,000, which was orchestrated exactly as you're saying. It had a specified scope of work, what we would get for those dollars. So that same principle, we understand what you're saying.
Right. So I'm wondering.
Is that on page 6 of their?
Well, it's.
Is page 6 of their, that what you're looking at? It's kind of calling out where the money's
right,
allocated.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And they allocate. But, like, there's.
This is what you're asking for, isn't it?
Well,
yes, but I think what she's asking is that we set that program versus them setting the program. Is that where you're?
Yeah, and you know, they're doing sort of general things, like, for example, continue relationship with local magazine to further educate community on economic development. That's a very kind of vague description, you know, to continue a relationship. What does that mean? What does it mean to continue a relationship? You know what I'm saying? That would not have been acceptable under a contract that we're going directly with a company, an outside company.
Well, I mean, what does look at quality of life issues mean when we're doing a master plan? What's
right.
that mean?
But under that, they're going to have so many community meetings. We're going to have 3 community meetings. We're going to discuss this. You know, so that, I guess that's what I'm missing. Like, for example, the second item here, continue prospect development program and expand into new industry sectors. And so the questions that immediately come to my mind are, what industry sectors? Like, what are the industry sectors, and how are you going to target these?
Perhaps,
like, what means are you going to use to target?
Answer that this way. In that particular case, the EDC does have a specific scope of work contract with an outside source to provide that work.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have the targeted industries and all those things, and we can get that data to you. And that's voted on by its membership, which includes the city as a member. And we can get that to you, or we can arrange for Mr. Tesh to stand before you at another meeting, or
right.
Let us know what you
answer.
Probably
everything, like the state of Florida's doing.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
but
that would be
but like, I was like, I mean, if you're going to target an industry, I'd like to know, what are those, like, what are we targeting? You know, that's, tell me what you're going to do.
We can probably name most of those off the top of our heads.
Right.
Mark Mondell, Office of Long-Term Planning Sustainability. There are sort of 2 sets of targeted industries when we use the term targeted industries. There's the state-defined target industries, which all of their incentive programs are geared towards, and that functions at the
right.
state level. And those are a little more than half a dozen industries. It includes broad categories, manufacturing, life sciences, or medical field, biotechnical, those types of things. In each of those different industry sectors, they'll have it broken down very specifically and very detailed of what types of industries qualify and which don't. In fact, you'll find that there's quite a bit of information and detailed information very specifically about what qualifies, and that's a single sheet that I can actually walk in here in a minute and give you a copy of that. Now, when it comes to the target industries that they're referring to, there's that subset. So what we do is we look at, okay, state of Florida, target industries. Of those target industry sectors, which ones really work well in Ocala? We may not be able to attract all of them, but we may have certain attributes that make it more likely or more desirable for some of them. So for example, we have certain manufacturing operations, warehousing and distribution type operations that find Ocala ideally suited that still meet the state's criteria. We also, as Mr. Horst mentioned, the EDC hires a number of consultants that will look at that from time to time and say, what has changed? What can we capitalize that we're not capitalizing on? We had the EDC had applied marketing associates to come in and look at our aviation industry and the aerospace sector to see what piece of that could we capture in Ocala. For example, some of those industries that are doing airplane, I'm trying to think of the right term, renovation, overhauling airplanes, those types of things. There's a list, and then they find those companies and right. say, let's work in trying to attract those companies. That gives you a flavor of what they do. Right. And we meet with them every Monday morning, and we work, as Mr. Horst mentioned, not only does Mr. Horst sit on their board and help to guide that, but at the staff level,
we
also.
Councilman Gwynn as well.
Right. Yes,
we also work with them to review that information, to help them as they're preparing their studies and looking at what kind of questions are we going to ask, who are we looking to hire, what's the results of that information, how are we going to apply it. We're pretty actively involved with them in that as well.
Okay.
Would you get their copy of their strategic plan and other
documents? Yeah, I think that would probably help.
Get it to everybody.
Sure. We'll make a copy of that have available within another day or two.
Yeah, that would give you a lot more information than just that.
Right. It just seems very vague.
Yeah. And we don't want to limit them. I don't want to be like an HMO and say, okay, well, you're only going to serve, we're going to pay X dollars, you're going to serve this many, companies or find this many companies. I mean, it's, whenever that phone rings, they're going to go see them or, communicate with them. And obviously, we're going to go out and solicit people that we want to in those industries. Like, Mark said, if we're I want to find a distribution company, we're going to go after a distribution company. So it's just not limited to, I don't want to restrict them to just a certain, you're only going to do this.
Oh, no.
I want them to do whatever's necessary.
But on the other side of that, I would like a guarantee that they're going to be proactive and be in contact, and this is our goal, to contact at least this many companies.
Right.
So that we're getting a sense, that we're getting back what we're paying for. I mean,
sure.
Yeah, those companies, nothing may come of that, but we have initiated this many contacts. We have initiated this much stuff. I would like to at least have some sense of what that is going to be.
Yeah.
Council's permission, I'll ask Pete to start sending out their monthly report to all of you through his electronic
distribution. I think they do.
Yeah.
Do they?
Okay.
We get
our
monthly.
You do get it?
Okay. You do get yours? Yeah, no, I get it, just because I sit on the board, because I'm council president, but yeah, it's extensive.
But I would like that, on behalf of the city, we have done these things. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, you do not get that?
I get the monthly report, yes, okay. I do.
Yes, it called so-and-so, called this one, or seeing this person, went to see this person. Yeah. But I understand what you're saying. All right, anybody else on EDC?
I want to clarify on the EDC that we have them budgeted at their current funding level. We did not budget them at their increased funding request, and we just need to have clear direction on whether we're going to increase their budget.
Is that the
$7,000?
Problem with increasing it by 7,000.
Just as an aside, that in this fund, the funding source for this fund is the $400,000 that comes from the general fund to support Mr. Mondale's activities. So we would be therefore reducing the funding.
The Office of Long-Term Planning and Sustainability.
Correct, to fund the Economic Development Council, that's correct.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what was it specifically that they wanted to do with the additional $7,000?
I think it's just a matter of costs going up and growth. As you recall, they spent $145,000, I don't know, for a decade maybe, or I don't know how long exactly. We did give them the extra $80,000 last year, which they said was a one-time thing. They did not ask for that, but they did ask for this increase, the same number they're asking from the county. All I can tell you is the budget they presented in the packet.
And did Mr. Mondale's department, their overall budget was flat this year from last year?
Correct. Well, his operating budget is in the general fund, but this budget here in Fund 674 are the monies that we use to incentivize companies to do things here in the city.
My question is...
Yes, and it's flat. He got...
His operating budget is the same as last year.
Correct.
If we take $7,000 out of it, we will decrease his operating budget by $7,000.
We will decrease his...
So we will...
The $400,000 that he is receiving current year to do incentive programs will be reduced by $7,000. The incentive money. His operating budget is a separate matter.
Okay. Okay.
This is the incentive money, so we will reduce the incentive monies by $7,000 to give it to the EDC.
Has gone up or down?
It is flat.
It's flat.
We gave him the same $400 this year that he got last year. Yes, it is down from the prior year.
Aren't they in the middle of a, not a capital campaign, but they're in the middle of a campaign?
Yes, they just finished their five-year commitment cycle,
right.
So they've started a new one. I do know that they're doing fairly well, but I don't know that they're... Yeah.
Why don't we see if they can raise it through their contributions?
And so then we'll stick with what we have, and then if they can reserve the right to approach you again at a later date.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I also want to point out that in this fund, new for this year is the Public Policy Institute budget request. You all received a request in May from the Public Policy Institute. It was a new funding request for us. They requested $25,000 from the city to support their efforts.
Bear with me a second. Scroll back down to what section is that in?
Same section right behind the EDC.
It's right behind the EDC, the next.
Flip the page up. Yeah. I think it's just the next page. You looking for the public policy?
Yeah.
It's right here.
And we brought this to you during a regular council session earlier in the year, and the direction we received was to put in a tentative budget, and this is the place for it. So it is a new request, though, so I did want to point it out. We have not previously funded this entity.
Who's heading this up, dude?
That's the college, Dr. DeSantis.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, Karen Jernigan used to head it up.
Yeah, I've got her name here. Well, let's see. I think I have her name here. Do you remember her name?
I do not.
She's new.
Okay.
I'll have to get that for you. I can't recall it.
This is the first request we've had for them for funding?
Yes, and it is. Their request is actually worded as an annual appropriation, but I did point out to them that we only budget annually, so getting it this year does not constitute a $25,000 check every year.
Non-recurring.
Yeah.
Yeah, annual non-recurring.
That's by law, so.
Go ahead.
How about maybe her or him or whoever that individual is coming to council and tell us a little bit more about, you know, what they do and what their plans are before we get $25,000 or...
My understanding it's for a study is the only information that I have.
Well, I know they've done some studies in the past, and, you know, a lot of times nothing's come of them.
That's what I'm going to
ask. What's come of the study?
Yeah. Yes, it's a quality of life study.
They do the annual studies. I know they did one on health a few years ago and a few others, but it'd be kind of curious to see, to have them present, you know, what the action items they pulled out of the study and where we've seen improvements.
Right. What actions have been taken that have been positive or as a result?
Yeah, I mean, they spent two years probably, or a year on consolidation of the city and county. And that was absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I will contact them and see if they can attend next Tuesday's
the
presentation.
Okay, and then the other funding request that's supported within this fund is the Small Business Department from the University of North Florida. And we have supported them in the past, and we also kept their funding level at the same $80,000.
That's
it's Dr. Geist.
Yeah, Bill Geist.
Small Business Development Council. Okay. And you remember, I think his match was either 5-1 or 10-1.
I don't remember if it's in his letter.
Yeah. Can't remember. I'm sure it's probably in his letter.
Yeah, I was looking to see.
Yeah, I think he's done a good job.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
By the PPI, you and Ricky will get a seat on the board.
Pardon?
You and Rick will get a seat on the board
for $25,000. Yeah, that's the last thing I need. That's the last thing I need.
And I do know that Dr. Geist's group does plan to do some work related to notifying local businesses of any opportunities that arise for assistance due to the oil spill, like we talked about earlier. They are focusing on that, if there's any impacts to the local businesses or if there's, you know, loans become available, small businesses, things like that, that is on their work scope for fiscal year 11.
I got a question. On the SBDC, they came up last year and we talked, they made a presentation to council. I'm trying to remember, how much does the county kick into that group? They never really answered that question, if I remember correctly. And they're funded, they're out of the University of North Florida where they cover multiple counties. And so Dr. Geist and his group is only really here a couple of days. Are we getting $80,000 out of them?
I do not. I know that question.
I know they brought a group in of people who benefited from them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those people, I don't know if their businesses were actually within the city limits. And I think that, I know that's been kind of a rub of Councilman Owens, ever some questions he's had on it. And just, you know, I see value in the service he provides. I just want to make sure everybody's towing their fair share of the line. It's not just they come to the city of Ocala and see potential deep pockets and the county says, go see them because they got money.
Mark, do you know?
Yeah, that was when we were meeting up in the police community room. Those folks got up and made that presentation. Yeah. I remember that.
Mr. Mondell can speak to what we do with them.
Yeah, I don't have the answer on the county, although I may be able to pull that in my office. We, as you know, through the EIP program, that focuses on targeted industries. And even though the program doesn't say there has to be a minimum criteria, many companies don't qualify under that program. We get approached by many companies all the time and often are very small companies. And so it's good for us as the city to be able to refer those companies to Dr. Geist's team. And we work with them closely, just like we do with workforce and the EDC and the chamber. We pull them into meetings when we have certain companies coming in and when there are certain issues that we don't have the tools to properly address them, he does. So it is a great resource for us, and it's a great way that we are able to support small business. Whether or not ultimately $80,000 is the right number, in my assessment, I would say we're probably getting our money's worth, but I can't really truly qualify or quantify that for you.
Okay. So you say they're an effective tool for
they
us.
They are. They are an effective tool, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I think the biggest thing is where the EDC is new jobs. There's the loss of focus on retention and helping struggling small business owners, and that's really the main focus area that helps smaller business either stay in business or, you know, helps them with performance, helps them with learning how to run business. There's a lot of training that helps people survive, which, as we all know, as much as we like the big jobs, it's the mom and pop shops that make up the bulk of what we have.
Okay. All right.
Okay, that covers that section. The next section would be the trust and agency funds. And under this section is the police trust and agency fund as well as the pension funds. The police trust and agency fund is fine and forfeiture funds, special investigations, stuff like that, dedicated to police training, capital purchases, different things like that. Does not impact the general fund anyway.
Do you have anything on that? What's the thumbs up program for $3,000? I know what that is. Mm-mm. Mary, you know what the thumbs up program is?
No, sir.
Chief, you know what thumbs up is?
Chief Williams.
Does anybody?
Chief Williams, OPD. That is a fund that has been set up for many years to assist officers who have been injured or killed in the line of duty with their families, the funeral arrangements, and that sort of thing.
Okay. Probably should be more than that.
I hope we don't have to use it.
Yeah, I know, but.
If you notice, the council, there is a fund balance of $346,000. That's not.
How much?
$346,000. So.
Okay.
If you look down at the new budget balance.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right.
There's sufficient funds for anything and everything at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chief.
Doesn't have money already obligated to the funeral?
No.
No, ma'am.
That's for the chief and his department to, you know, if they need money for a sting operation or whatever. Anything they don't use in a given year, it just rolls over.
Yes, it is restricted only to the police department.
Okay.
It is restricted only to the police department.
All right. Do I have anything else, please? All right. What's the next one?
The next funds are the retirement funds, the general employees' retirement, the police and the fire, the three pension funds. They are funded by contributions from the city and from the employees. They are balanced, and the increase in the pension costs was absorbed 100% by the city, was not passed on to the employees. So there was no change there for employees.
Budget is balanced, but and we anticipate those who are eligible to retire, they may choose not to, but we're prepared just in case, and if they don't, well, it's void.
And again, all three of these funds are restricted. The monies cannot be moved in or out for any other purpose.
Okay.
And if there are no questions on the pension funds, that would conclude the presentation.
Okay. All right. Anybody, council, have any questions about the budget?
And just
all
so
right, did a great time.
At the 27th workshop, we will bring back the budget in its entirety. You'll see a summary page showing the whole budget balanced and, you know, what it comes to.
Okay.
The main intent of that is to give you, as we're required by law, the actual tentative budget. We'll be available to answer any additional questions or have any additional discussion you'd like to have, but really it's nothing more than we've been through it, here it is. Now we're meeting the intent of the law to put out the tentative budget, and it will be put on the web and available to all of everybody, as is everything we have now. But
okay.
It'll be packaged up and, as we call, pretty good.
Yes.
All right.
And the next time, after the 27th workshop, then you will roll into your public hearings in September. And at next Tuesday's workshop, we will be having you set those hearing dates.
If you have questions in there, we encourage you to come in and ask. And
okay.
If you miss something, let us know. And
okay.
Also, we got a letter here from Eugene Poole. Could you, it's addressed to you.
Yes, sir.
You just take care of that?
Yes, sir, we are. We'll provide a copy of everything to all of you once.
Okay.
We actually checked, and our percentages have improved from 2 years ago.
Okay. So, please, Ben. Thanks, Mayor.
Rick, I've got the one letter from, or the Veterans Helping Vets. Did we allocate in the budget for them this year?
It's just grouped in the sum total. I'm trying to think. The Vets Helping Vets came out of your discretionary, the council's discretionary total. And that it, it's intended for it to be funded, but that's up for you to decide as they're comes forward. I don't remember that total, what that total number is.
I haven't seen
money. But, you know, it's like with everything, not just them, the sum total.
Yeah, okay.
All right. There's nothing else. Wish you got something.
Yes, sir. I'd like to introduce our new deputy fire chief to you.
Right. Okay.
Okay. John, come up. John DiOrio. He comes to us with 26 years of experience. He has a bachelor in management from Northwood University, West Palm Beach, a master's in business management from Palm Beach Atlantic University, a master's in security studies from the Naval Postgraduate Center School Center for Defense and Homeland Security. Right now he is with Gainesville with the Fire College as an academic instructor. He's been a former fire chief, assistant fire chief at Marion County, and he's domestic security program coordinator at the State Fire College and acting fire chief for the town of Palm Beach. He's a licensed paramedic, firefighter, and fire instructor three with many other designations. And
okay.
John, he should be coming on board within the next few months.
Okay.
Thank you. Honored to be here and looking forward to
Thank you.
Yeah, pretty impressive resume, except for that Marion County tie. We won't hold that against you.
Yeah, I gave him a third degree about that.
All right. Thank you. Welcome aboard. All right. Anybody have anything else? All right. If nothing else, we're adjourned.